The men in my family, father, brother, husband, are different in many ways, but they are alike in one respect. They refuse to go to a doctor. Even when they feel lousy, persistently at times, they brush it off with an, I'm fine.
I'm fine.
I'm totally fine.
No, I'm fine.
Then
I'm
head fine. To the drugstore to get an over-the-counter or something. And that's that. For years, my father would bring to the table a warm glass of water and dissolve the revolting brown pill. This was his remedy for a self-diagnosed nagging stomach problem that ended up really being a severe gallbladder infection. The women in my family spend an inordinate amount of time trying to figure out how to get the guys to a checkup. In this, we joined other wives, sisters, mothers the world over.
I saw something on my husband's face. I, of course, was worried about skin cancer, and I would point it out to him, and he would say, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. He said, look at the other side of my face. You don't have to look at it. And I was...
Recently, I chatted about this problem with some of my book club buddies to protect the guilty. In other words, their husbands. We agreed I wouldn't name names. This is about caring, not blaming.
So eventually, by pointing it out to him every morning, he finally did go to the doctor.
Well, my husband doesn't go easily to the doctor. He makes infinite excuses. He's too busy. He hopes that a problem will just go away. So it does take a certain amount of nagging. I offer to make appointments for him. And he said, well, I have to check my calendar. I'll get back to you.
Whatever these women tried, talking, cajoling, threatening, leaving brochures in strategic places around the house, was mostly ignored.
So I find that using logic is probably not the best way to get to my husband.
So what is it with men and doctors? It's not lack of information. Popular websites ranging from mancave.com to Ask Men give solid health advice and try to point men to the doctor's office. One site, aimed at digital natives younger than 40, lists the common and lamest reasons for avoiding a checkup. I don't like to be touched by a doctor. I'll tough it out. I don't trust any doctors. To see the full list, check out our website, whyy.org/thepulse. For the over 40 generation, some rather aggressive ad campaigns try to get men to listen and get tested. In this public service announcement, a woman realtor congratulates a family for their new home and then looks directly at the man.
I'm sure you'll have many happy years here, except for you, because you'll be gone 3 years from now, struck down by the same disease that got your father, so you won't be around for them. And sadly, it could have been detected early with a simple test, but you didn't have it.
Ouch! All these efforts send the same message in more or less elegant ways. Get off your butts and do something about it. You might not be fine, you can't always tough it out, and if you have time to track your fantasy football team, you got time to do the doctor thing. Why do so many men ignore such obvious truths? Well, there are a few reasons for that.
Yes, men are invincible.
Says Dr. Michael Coachman at the University of Pennsylvania Hospital Gastroenterology Division.
We are the men of the house. And many still hold that to be the truth, that it will not happen to them because they're busy. And that it's a sign of weakness to go to a physician even when one is feeling well.
Most men don't go to doctors unless they're in trouble. Women are used to going to for gynecological checkups. And the gynecologist becomes their primary physician.
Chiropractor Basil Snayman.
What motivates men is pain and being able to do what they want to do. If you can get them to have their cake and eat it too, with minimal change in their lifestyle, they're in.
Well, maybe so. But it gets really complicated when you consider the intricacies of defining masculinity. Men are supposed to be strong, tough, resilient, hard workers, good providers, good lovers, partners, husbands, parents, and bosses. Exactly, says Dr. Coachman.
I think there is a not wanting to appear weak, not wanting to appear ill. And then especially for people that have either public jobs or are out running businesses, they don't want to give any appearance often. And that's difficult.
I went to the cardiac rehab center at the Lankenau Hospital Heart Institute to meet with some men who found out the hard way that they are not invincible. Under the supervision of physicians and specially trained nurses, they come here several times a week to relearn how to live after cardiac surgery. Their ages range from 55 to 80 plus. They agreed to share some of their stories, usually punctuated with some regret at not having listened to their spouses.
My first heart attack got me to quit smoking. My second heart attack had me lose 20 pounds immediately. If you ask my wife about it, that is a definite concern of hers on that. Don't keep my weight down.
What's the most difficult thing you had to give up?
I would say red meat.
Mm-hmm. Salt particularly.
Cakes.
Do you dream of little dancing cakes?
Oh, I'm originally from South Philadelphia, and I stop in on all those Italian pastries, and I just used to go crazy over them, and just have to put it out of your diets, that's all. You just have to resolve yourself to it if you want to live longer.
The youngest man in the group, 55-year-old Scott Snyder, wanted to talk about the constant pressures of work.
With cell phones today and with MiFis and Wi-Fis, you're connected 24/7. To be honest with you, as I was rethinking it through, I think the greatest regret that I had was not setting boundaries, that this is work and this is my life and this is my health. It's very, very difficult to basically say, you know what, I'm going home. I'll deal with it in the morning. And that's tough. It's been easier to do it, you know, since my heart attack, but that's tough.
One of the benefits of the Lankenau program, they say, is that they can talk with other men and encourage each other to take care of themselves without always waiting for the women in their lives to pressure them. But it never gets easy to take that plunge, even for physicians.
There's a game that's played in every single corridor of every hospital.
Dr. Jay Siegfried, director of Lankenau's Cardiac Rehab Center.
And that is that you sidle up to your colleague who happens to be your friend, who probably shares many of your fears and shares medical knowledge in areas that you might not, and you say, may I curbside you? And then you ask the question that is bothering you or your wife has been hounding you about, and then you decide if you want to pursue it any longer. It's cheating a little bit because you don't have to make a full commitment to go see the doctor. You don't have to admit that you're sick. You can make it sort of could almost say, I have a friend who has this.
So are there any signs of hope for the women in my book club? Yes, says Dr. Michael Coachman. But changes in the health prevention field take time. They go hand in hand with a host of other issues, ranging from attitudes to access to affordable health care to strong public awareness campaigns. A good example of that?
With tobacco cessation is a good example of something that no one would listen to for a while. And now tobacco cessation is clearly one of the primary aims of primary internists.
The media are also offering men more honest talk about diet, exercise, and longevity in formats they like. Celebrities play a big role here.
The Katie Couric's of the world who are able to go out and speak about things are absolutely critical.
Even if men become more receptive to messages about prevention, women will probably remain for a long time in their roles as the family primary sentries and gatekeepers for healthcare. Here's comedian and talk show host Steve Harvey talking about that fact on a show that itself is a powerful platform for prevention messages, Dr. Oz.
You know, my wife does it for me. You know, she tells me how much the family's dependent on me, how much she loves me, how we can't, you know, how nobody's going to be able to live without me. You know, that's pretty good to know you're needed and wanted, and that usually gets me to the doctor. And, you know,
In the long run, says Penn physician Michael Coachman, it's still a question of personal responsibility.
And the idea that the doctor tells you what to do, that attitude really has to change. It has to become more of, I have an understanding of what's best for me. I have to act responsibly. Now, how you get to that level of cooperation and compliance is a difficult one to answer. I'm not sure how you get there, but the buck stops with the individual.
Yes, indeed. Now, if you'll excuse me, I need to go and elbow some of the men I care about. Don't you think it's your turn now? I'm Elisa Perez Luna for The Pulse.